Hallelujah. Father, we worship you and bless you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We love you, Abba. We're asking you to saturate this time with your presence, with your spirit. Glorify Jesus. Help us in this hour to truly be used by God Almighty for the purpose of this region. And we love you, Father. We commit ourselves unto you in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord has challenged me to do just a little bit of teaching for just a few weeks to more adequately prepare us for what we are doing so that we are really doing this with precision and not just beating the air. So would you turn with me to Mark chapter 11? And we are going to have confessions here in just a little bit. This won't be long. But I would encourage you to take notes and listen, because I believe what he's given me is the mind of Christ. And I believe that it's vitally important for us in regards to what we are believing God to accomplish. Hallelujah. Now, these are the words of Jesus in red. And we're looking at verse 22. And we have read these words before in the past. And we're not going to go down through all of these words and teach on the power of forgiveness and all those wonderful truths that are in this. But we're just going to say something about faith and something about confession here. Verse 22 says this, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Or I believe what it says in the Greek is have the faith of God, or this is how the faith of God works. Verse 23, for truly, and I use the word truly, if you hear me say that, that's what it means, or verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But the key part there, and the part that I want us to really catch tonight and underscore of this whole thing, is the things which he saith, if he believes that the things which he saith shall come to pass, shall come to pass. And I think that's vital, and that's key for especially what we're doing on Friday nights. We have to believe that it will come to pass, that it will continue to develop. Because one of the things that can stop our faith is that if we don't see something immediately, we're thinking that it's not working. And I love what Pastor Jim said last week, and he said it, I think, on Friday night, and he may have said it on Sunday. But how do you know? I mean, how do we know that the things that we're praying is not working? They are working. Everything that we're asking God for, even if you can't see it sometimes, even if you can't see that for basic outside appearance, if it doesn't look like he's working, or if people don't look like they're changing, he is working behind the scenes. So if that's true with people, that's true with all of our confessions, that's true with everything that we're saying on Friday night, and coming to pass, believe that it will come to pass. It was more than just you were to believe it right now, because we have that in there that he says, if I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Believe that you receive them when? Right now. Right now. So there's two things. There's two things working here. You have to believe it. Okay, when am I going to receive this? Right now. Even all the things that we're saying, like revival, we have to somehow believe God that it's happening right now. Because if you don't bring it into the present tense, it's still something out there. It's still something you're reaching out there. You have to believe, but you also have to believe that even though you received it right now, that it's in a process, that it will come to pass. So even if you don't see it in the natural, t- taking place. You have received it. And that's why it's so vitally important. So many times we don't even realize, even in regards to our own body. Once you pray the prayer and you don't ask God to heal you, but you speak to it, then every day after that, you quote the promises and thank him that it's been done, past tense. And you don't just continue to ask him and just continue to ask him because he heard you the first time and it did come to pass right then. And you believe right then that it came to pass. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is all these confessions that we're making, we have to come to a place where we believe present tense that these things are happening. They have happened and they are happening. Praise God. And I think it's vitally important for us even to rehearse the things that, you know, what can we say? What things have we already seen? As Gay is up here and we're confessing, and as we're confessing the word and we're saying, I say, and we're saying these things. Well, what things, and we'll just name some of them right now, and you're free to help me with this. What things can we say have already been fulfilled or being fulfilled on a continual basis, and they are the results of our prayers? So if we take into account certain things that are already taking place or already in the process of taking place, then we're saying, God, we're recognizing this. This truth is a reality. Whatever good things are happening are not just happening by happenstance or happen chance, but they really are. See, if we think that the good things that are happening, like one, I've got one on here, like traffic and accidents and stuff. Now, I don't know about you, and I know some, they happen from time to time, but it is better. And if we equivocate that just to natural, like, oh, there's not as many people doing wrong things, if we equivocate that, we're throwing out our confession. And we're saying, oh, what we say, we're saying that, but it's just happening by natural. We have to bring it into the spirit and say, we are making a difference. Our confession is making a difference. It really is making a difference. It's making a difference for people's safety out there on 82, 846, Naples-Immokalee Road. It really is. And so I'm wanting you to think like that. What things can we already presently see that are happening in Immokalee or in this region as a result of the few of us or the many of us, I say, that are meeting on Friday nights? Amen? Praise God. Yes, ma'am. Praise God. See, you need to write that down. Terrorist attacks. We have seen through our confession. If you think, oh, do you not believe? I believe, and I'm trying to grasp this reality that God, because I've seen, and I can show you in the Word, we all know in the Word, one man can make a difference for a whole nation. I mean, the whole planet. One, Noah was, you know, he was his prayers. Elijah prayed and stopped rain over a whole nation for 3.5 years. One man. So a lot of times we think, well, 15, 20 people in a little town, we're sure not making a difference over in Washington, D.C. or Denver, Colorado, or blah, 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 blah. That's the wrong way of thinking. Because if we think like that, then we won't think that we're really making a difference over our region. Thank you, Gay, because we made a difference. We helped stop that particular terrorist attack. And no telling, God only knows how many more terrorist attacks. Praise God. Lift your hands. Father, I love you. I praise you. Lord, we're not just going through something. We're really believing. And we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you that you helped us through your spirit and through these confessions stop this particular terrorist attack. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we'll mention some more of those. So you just keep thinking. one of the things that that we need to do, and this is another thing, is we need to bring people in here. And I'm not talking about just bring them in here so we can feel. We need to bring them in here so that they can get healed. And here's the thing. Jim said this last week, and it's so true. He says, the world demands precision. I mean, in mathematics, aerodynamics, you get on a plane, you want to make sure that plane, the physics of making sure everything in the natural. When you go in to, if you were going to have open heart surgery, if you ask the doctor, well, how many dozens of these have you done? If he says, I've really never seen one, but I've read about it before. You say, well, you know what? You're not operating on me. The world demands precision. And we need, now this is truth, and I can show you in the Word of God out of the book of Acts how that they rehearsed. They rehearsed the miracles. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm the biggest sinner in here, if there's such a thing, about not getting all of the facts and rehearse them enough that I can precisely, just like I get so excited sometimes over the initial miracle, and that's wonderful. But here's the thing. It's just like Sister Thigpen that you talked about, Grant's mom. You said something about, what's her name? Naomi. Okay. She came in here 2 weeks ago, and she'd had this, and see, right there, I don't know exactly what it was, but I've heard it already. And so I'm going to get better at this. She had this, it's not scoliosis, but it's something to do with a spine or whatever. Spinal stenosis, okay? I'm going to learn more about what that is. And she was suffering for weeks, or for a long, 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 long time. For weeks now, she has been pain-free. Hallelujah. How many of you know that it's important, vitally important, when we hear testimonies like that, if need be, stop the service or whatever, or listen to the preciseness of what is being said. Why? Because when you know an exact story, okay, this woman came to our church, she had stenosis. Is that right? Spinal stenosis. She'd been suffering for years, elderly lady. Every week we pray for the sick. This woman came in, and in a simple prayer at the altar, she got healed and she was suffering pain. And for weeks now, she has been pain-free. When you precisely rehearse something like that to somebody at the store or some business or whatever, when you sound like you know what you're talking about, if you say flippantly like, oh, there's somebody come in and they were sick and they feel better when they left, you know, oh wow. But when you rehearse it and tell them, see, in the book of Acts they rehearsed what was going on. That's why it's vitally important. And I know, you know, I gotta change Sammy. That young man lives in Dallas, Texas, and his wife did not come over here with him. He came in here basically a cripple. He had had, I think, two spinal surgeries, had pins in his back, and he was, if you were here, you would have watched this man that could hardly make it down, a young man. Young, tall, handsome guy. Now, that makes a difference. God heals everybody. His wife must have been ecstatic when he got off the plane. Because Marty comes into my office after Pastor Dave prays for him and says, you know that guy that you guys pray for? Yep, he's out in the parking lot and doing cartwheels. And we were like, ha, 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 that's really cool. I thought he meant he's happy, you know, because they. And then Marty goes, no. Now, this is what Marty said. He goes, no, I'm serious. He's doing cartwheels. And I turned to Dave and I said, yeah, we need to go see this. And we got out there, and that guy really was. He was doing cartwheels. Those are the kinds of things that we need to rehearse to people. When we're telling them, come. Come. You're sick? Really? Come. You know, the devil is such a liar. Because he'll tell us, why is it not happening? Why is there not healings? Why is there not? We have forgotten dozens and dozens and dozens of miracles that have taken place. And then we start thinking, God, why aren't you doing anything? And God is saying, what in the world? He's like, oh my God, oh, that's me. What do I have to do to prove that I'm really doing something through your Friday night confessions? And that's why we almost need a journal in the back or put it on the walls. You know, these walls could never hold all the miracles that have taken place. So we need to be able to rehearse it precisely to people, to our families, and say, oh, you know what? Wow, we got three canes just like that on our stage. Would you like to offer your fourth? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yeah, because she needs to have that on the.
She had back pain, and she had it so much that she had a device, a pump, that pumped in, like, it wasn't morphine, but some kind of pain medication directly to her spine. And she got healed here and was pain-free. We could have stolen that from her, but she probably had to give it back. But she didn't need it anymore after she got prayed for here.
We need to rehearse it. We really do. And the other thing, too, is if you've noticed, now I've not done it a lot. I need to do it more. And this is another thing we need to practice. If I give a prophecy or if someone that we really trust gives a prophecy, we need to stop and say, what did the Lord just say? Because it's just like the word gets stolen. I mean, you guys will love something that I'll teach or Jim will teach or Homer will teach. And you get home that afternoon at 3 o'clock and say, somebody will call you and say, man, that word was good. Or how was church today if they missed or whatever? It was fantastic. Oh, and the word was good. What was taught? It's stolen from you. You need to walk out with about three or four things. Just key. I mean, it doesn't have to be just some real, you know, key words that you don't have to take pages of notes, but they need to be something that you can say too precise and something that cues your spirit or brain to say, that's what he talked about. He talked about, you know, this area of spirituality, and he talked about how to go into God or how to worship, how to, you know, mortify your flesh more, whatever. And so when the Lord speaks, pray for me, pray for all of us, pray for us that we take the Lord more serious. We've not. Father, forgive us. Thousands of prophecies have gone forth, and they sit in a book in there. I've got them in my office. We've done a good job in stewardship in that, but we need to rehearse them. We need to know what the Lord says. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a good pupil.
You did a good job on that recently. Do you remember? I think it was Sunday morning. There was a prophecy. We hadn't had one in a long time. You asked us what the Lord said. Homer knew exactly what he said, remember? And he remembered two or three things that were very precise about what the Lord said. And all the rest of us were like, oh, yeah, right, that's what he said. So you did do a good job with that.
Praise God. Well, I appreciate the compliment. Thank you, Jesus. All right. One of the good things, Homer, how many of Homer's healed right now? He's healed right now. And he's walking in a good spot. He's spending a lot of time in prayer, a lot of time in the Word, a lot of time in fasting. But another thing, and this is just a lesson, I don't believe that he'd mind because I'm not saying anything derogatory. One of the reasons why, besides all of that wonderful spiritual stuff, that he can repeat stuff is because he's really cued to the sense gate of his hearing, and he listens. And we are a lot of times so preoccupied, even in prophecies, where I wish he had stopped chewing that gum, or, you know, she's just, and the Lord has said something, and close your eyes from now. Just close your eyes and say, God, help me. You're speaking right now. Hold the Holy Ghost, the third member of the Godhead, is speaking right now. My God, please, just, Lord, help me. You know, and really, anybody with any maturity, I mean, God's not going to strike you dead. We're not in the Old Testament. But when God's speaking like that, a little kid I can understand, but a grown-up or a teenager that would get up and go to the bathroom, you can hold it. They don't last but about 30 seconds or a minute. If you get up during that time, that's rude. That's very rude. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Healings, Sister Thigpen, others that we could just go on all night. Praise God. We just need to rehearse things. I think I'm in here repenting more than you. Hallelujah. What can we say tonight? Anymore? Healings is one. Well, I mentioned traffic. The word, we continue to say, the word is preached here, and we all understand everything that the pastors teach here. There is a good understanding. Are we not understanding what is taking place? Hallelujah. Financial. We're still going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I can tell you that there are seasons, and we can equivocate it. Okay, he said, don't say that. Okay, I'm not going to say that. I'm just telling you we are blessed. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Lord. Do you know it happens, but it's not nearly as prevalent as it could be with murder and rape in Immokalee? It's not. It's not. It's not nearly as bad. The lost are being saved. Thank you, Candy. The lost are being saved. We have to live our confessions. Now, Jim said that last week, and that's vitally important. You can't say things, well, this is where it gets tough. You can't say things during the week about Immokalee and then confess good things on Friday night. Now, if we turn to James 3, we can read that whole thing. I was with a man in my backyard one time, and you don't know him, and I don't hold it against him, but he was repeating. He's in the ministry, but he never ministered here. He was repeating what he had heard so often. And we were standing there with a bunch of other men, and I was like, golly, you don't even know. And I did not take the offense. I just like, my Lord. Because he was saying stuff from a almost a racist kind of view, but also a harshness of what has been spoken so much about Immokalee. He said, and it was a joke, and I can't remember how it went, and I'm glad I can't remember, but basically he said the best thing they could have ever done or could do is to build a wall around Immokalee. And I was like, you don't know Immokalee. You know, Gary Carpenter, by the Holy Spirit said, men have called this place Ichabod. That means the glory of the Lord has departed. God said, I call it Bethel, the house of God. And you go back in the book of Genesis and read the story how Jacob wrestled with the angel all night long, and the angel, you know, smote his hip and or whatever, and then he dreamed these dreams, and he took these rocks and made a pillow out of them, and then the next day that night he dreamed a dream, and the Lord said, this place that you're at is Bethel. It's the house of God. And he took those same stones and he made a pillar, and it was a testimony. I can't remember all the story now, but Bethel means the house of God. This city is called the house, the dwelling of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, praise the Lord. And, you know, the Lord gets on all of us. So, in other words, you can't even kidding say things like this. When you hear an evil report, well, that's Immokalee for you. Well, that's Immokalee for you. You can't say, and I've said these things even with, you know, my friends, you know, only in Immokalee. That sounds real trite. I mean, it doesn't sound like something only in Immokalee. No. Would you say this, Father? forgive us of ill-spoken words over this city. We want all our words on Friday night to pay great dividends. Cleanse us by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We've been speaking over our worship. I believe our worship is going up. I really do. I've felt it in the spirit, and our worship is going up. We probably won't get too much confession in, but this is good. Turn with me to James chapter 3. I just want to read how, because we want to read the word. Yes.
We pay the way for many to come and many to go.
Many to come, many to go. We confess that, and we've seen that, haven't we? We've seen Jim, Dave, a lot, you know, come in here, Gary, and praise the Lord. And I went to Africa. These guys, they get, and I got to be careful here, but because it's not about what you get or what you don't get, and they don't come for that purpose or whatever. But they almost invariably, so many times, have told me, oh, my God, you know, like, I wouldn't have got this at a big, big church. So that's supernatural. That is very supernatural. The good thing about those guys would come for anything. That's the great thing. And that's only the only kind of people we have. So I told you James chapter 3. Let's look. It says, my brethren, just to make a point of what we just said concerning, you can't say things about bad things about Immokalee or this region. We've got to watch our words. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that we defile the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it setteth on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therefore curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to so to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Hallelujah. So with that, we could read on, but the point is, Lord, our life, it can't be just Friday nights. And so we have to put Psalms 141. This is another powerful psalm concerning the words of our mouth. In other words, you can't say foolish things over, you know, I mean, there's so many different applications, and we haven't exhausted, and I hope you're still thinking because we got time to list a few more. But you can't say, oh, that's a killer road. Huh? You can't say stuff like that. I'm not saying anybody does. I'm just saying we can't get in. People will say, you know, oh, God, that Highway 82, that's one of the most dangerous roads. No, you can't say it. You can't go along with them. You can't say, oh, yeah, I know, my God, it's really bad. So there's a lot of different things a lot of different things that it's so easy to just go along with something that somebody else says. Or we may have rehearsed those particular things all our life. And what we're asking God is to say, okay, now wait a minute, God. We're standing in your presence on Friday night, and we're saying we want things to come to pass. We're receiving them right now, but we want things to come to pass. Is there anything that is contrary that I'm saying that is negating what I'm saying on Friday night? We've already seen a lot of stuff we've seen come to pass, but we want this thing to accelerate, and we want to alleviate anything that may be a hindrance to us. Psalms 141. It says, Lord, I pray unto thee, make haste unto me, and give ear unto to my voice when I cry. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the doors of my lips. Did you hear that? He's asking God to set a watch over his mouth. Now, when you pray this, got to be careful. When you pray this, the Holy Spirit will start interrupting you. And he will start things that are negating your healing. If you just say, Lord, because a lot of times we don't think that we do. But it's just like in anything, whether it's healing or finances or whatever, we've all got blinders. We do. We don't realize that we do. It's not, so here's the thing. It's not always what you're saying. It's what you're not saying. In other words, stuff you don't need to be saying that you you can say that I'm coming through this, you know, or I'm coming through this financial test or whatever. But the blinders are the things that you don't realize that you're saying that are negating that many times until the Holy Spirit opens them up and you say, set a watch over my mouth, put a watch on my lips, and then he starts correcting you. And that's when it gets a little bit tough. He says, thou compassest my... Oh, wrong chapter. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice evil works with men that work iniquity. And let me not eat of their dainties. Okay, you could go on and on and on here. But that's the key verses that we wanted to read. Set a watch over my mouth. So... let's pray this. Father, we pray that not only the words that we speak here tonight, but the words that we speak during the week, that you'll put a watch over our mouth. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What other things can you think? I mean, we got... a ton of, we'll do an abbreviated confession tonight if we need to, but I mean, why not do it all, huh? But what are the things in that confession that we can think of? Because there's a lot of them. Yes, ma'am? You got one? Life? Yes, we do have life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. And he does give us life. He gives us life to come back here on Friday nights and confess. Praise God. Yes, ma'am. Able to get along with each other. What did you say? Any others before we do anything? Yes, sir. She had the tumor, and they went in there, and she was supposed to have the surgery, and they didn't. There wasn't nothing in there. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's exactly right. China got saved. Hallelujah. There's been so many. Yeah. That's right. Praise God. So many. Myself. Torn chest. Your shoulder. Your shoulder. Yeah. And you played? I mean, you didn't have to have surgery, or did you? No. It's your ankle and your... So he got healed during high school. Rose? Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. does not have Down syndrome. I wish I could, you know, this is where we probably wrote it down, but I don't even know where it's written down at. But there was several years ago, I don't know if you guys can remember, somebody's young son or teenage or 20-year or whatever son basically was in a car accident or something, and they took him to the Naples hospital, and they were like dead or on arrival or something. And we stood here and prayed, and the next report, God raised him up. That might have been one of them too. He was basically dead too. Yep. Oh yeah, Martina and Jose. They should have been dead. They just got saved. Yep. My God. I mean, there's dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens. So he is doing something. He is, and we need to acknowledge that. And the next, you know, the miracles that we hear, we need to tell it with pride's not the best word, but tell it like it's really important. You know, tell it like, hey, I got something to tell you. You know, this is really good. Like, especially if you meet a person that's in real need or a physical need, tell them as a matter of fact, this happened. This person was really sick, and this is exactly what their disease was, and they got healed. Praise God. So let's confess and praise God. We can do them all. Amen. Hallelujah. I started to say stand. You can sit, stand, whatever you want to do. Praise God.
Father, we worship you. We glorify you. We praise your holy name. You are not a man that you could lie. You have exalted your word above your name. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will never pass away. Therefore we say, your glory is present here at the Family Prayer Center. The sick are healed. The blind see. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. Demoniacs are set free. The lame walk. The dead are raised. And the poor in spirit have the gospel preached to them. Thousands and thousands are born again. Every week, here at the Family Prayer Center, while we are able to get along with each other, as our Father works revival in our midst, we have the kind of worship that takes us beyond the veil of the flesh, in order that we may worship in spirit and in truth. We worship you, Father, out of our new nature. We give you family worship as your sons and daughters. Father, here at the Family Prayer Center, those that come see a people transformed to the nature of Christ. Father, we say, in the name of Jesus, that no person ever leaves the Family Prayer Center the same way they came. Every person that comes receives a touch from you, the Good Shepherd. Father, those that come who are beaten down, discouraged, worn out and tired, we will not leave that way. We will be encouraged, strong and mature. We will leave standing upright, our shoulders squared, our heads held high, going forth as a mighty army to take this planet for your kingdom, in the name of Jesus. Father, your glory fills every service. Every person that comes. drinks of your glory. We leave as earthen vessels, filled with your glory, filled with your wisdom, filled with your love, filled with your grace, and anointed by your Spirit. We carry your presence with us. We carry revival around this world. Father, we declare, we preach your gospel. We never settle for man's gospel, only yours. It's the gospel that saves, the gospel that fills, the gospel that heals. And that's why we say, lost, be saved. Empty, be filled. Blind, see. Sick, be healed. Lame, walk. Deaf, hear. Dumb, speak. Maimed, be whole. Dead, live. In the name of Jesus. Father, that's your gospel. We settle for nothing less. We are going for the gold. We have what we say. And we say at every service, the lost are saved. People are filled with the Holy Ghost. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The maimed are made whole. And even the dead are raised. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. More than 12 legions of angels have been loosed to prepare the way for revival. Angels have been dispatched to the four corners of the earth, intercepting and stopping every mission and every assignment of the enemy that would come against this revival. The assignments of all devils against the family prayer center, the people of the family prayer center, and the leadership of the family prayer center. All those assignments are dismissed. Now, in the name of Jesus, we declare those plans null and void. Devil, we have taken Immokalee from you. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. And we are in authority here. Therefore, devil, get out of Immokalee. Take your demons with you. Take your casino with you. Angels, run them out. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We can change that to past tense. I've always wanted to do that. The King of Kings has made a decree. We are speaking in his stead. Our King has declared, this is the acceptable year of the Lord. Our King has decreed, captives, you are free. Every person returns to their original inheritance, the born again trail. Father, you have restored our inheritance. And here at the Family Prayer Center, the inheritance is not just known about. We don't just teach about it, but it is received, manifested, and seen. We declare every captive to be free, every wheelchair emptied, every artificial help. They may need them when they come. They won't need them when they leave. We'll have them here as trophies. to the glory of Jesus, our healer.
To the glory of Jesus, our healer.
All manner of sickness.
All manner of sickness.
And all manner of diseases.
And all manner of diseases.
Are healed.
Are healed.
First time.
First time.
Every time.
Every time.
All of them.
All of them.
No exceptions.
No exceptions.
Jesus.
Jesus.
You healed them all then.
You heal them all now.
That's what we say.
That's what we say.
That's what we have.
That's what we have.
In your name, Jesus.
In your name, Jesus.
Father,
Father,
there are impartations
of your spirit,
in this place.
We declare
these are the most powerful,
the most anointed,
the most life-changing,
the most revival producing
services in history.
Fresh anointings.
Fresh giftings.
Like never before.
Father,
it is you doing the works.
Therefore,
all things are possible.
Soul,
my soul,
I command you.
Believe this.
All things are possible.
Soul,
my soul,
I command you.
Believe this.
Immokalee is in revival.
Immokalee is in revival.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We declare
every captive to be free.
Free in spirit,
free in
soul,
free in body,
all are delivered,
all are restored.
Father,
you are a
provider.
Angels have been dispatched
to gather in
all of the finances
and everything necessary
for this revival.
Therefore, we say,
there is no lack.
We operate from abundance.
We operate from surplus.
We have all.
And we abound
with many baskets left over.
We have such abundance.
We pay the way
for many to come
and many to go.
We send them out
on prosperous journeys for God,
with abundance,
in a manner fitting,
servants of the Lord.
Our financial granaries are full,
because our King
has found stewards
that he can trust,
and I am one of them.
Father,
if you need anything,
come to my house first.
Whatever you have need of,
come to my house first.
I've been bought with a price.
My life is not my own.
I am a first class
servant,
a son of the living God.
Lord,
I lay all my possessions
at your feet.
And I say again, Lord,
if you need anything I have,
it's yours.
I love you, Lord,
with all of my heart,
all of my soul,
all of my mind,
and all of my strength.
And the second commandment
is like unto the first.
I love my neighbor
as myself.
Jesus,
you are my Savior.
You are my Lord.
Whatever you ask,
that's what I do.
I am your servant.
I am your bond slave.
By my free will choice,
I serve you, Lord.
By serving these people
that you love so much
and that I love so much.
All that I have is yours, Lord.
My time is yours. My body is yours. My family is yours. I own nothing. I am your bondslave. Use me as you will. We say, concerning our corporate worship, that our Father fills this house full of his songs of worship. In style, words and anointing, and that we are filled with all wisdom and judgment concerning our corporate worship. We say concerning the camera medium ministry that this body is filled with all wisdom, grace and money to complete this task. To your glory, Lord Jesus. Father, we declare the roadways into Immokalee are highways of God. Angels, watch over and protect all those traveling on Highway 82, Highway 29, Highway 846, and Immokalee Road. We call these highways avenues to revival. Father, we thank you that our country operates under godly leadership. And Father, we thank you that no lives will be lost on American soil due to terrorist attack or war. We say that the plans of the enemy will be revealed and ultimately averted. Father, continue to extend your mercy over our country for the sins that have been committed and the innocent blood that has been shed. Lord, we thank you that by your Spirit you have bound us together as cords of three strands that cannot easily be broken according to your will and good pleasure. Therefore, we lift up the bloodstained banner over this city, written in blood. On this banner are these words: Immokalee is in revival. Immokalee is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. Jesus is Lord over Immokalee. And where Jesus is Lord, the Father's will is done. Therefore, Father, have your way, not just 30-fold, not just 60-fold, but 100-fold. And again we say, lost be saved, empty be filled, captives go free, blind see, deaf hear, dumb speak, lame walk, maimed be whole, dead live, in the name of Jesus. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory, forever and ever. Your will be done in Immokalee, just as it is in heaven. As in heaven, so in the earth. As in heaven, so in Immokalee. Immokalee is saved. Immokalee is saved. Hallelujah to your glory, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we just praise you. We honor you this night, Lord. And everyone in this box that's represented in this box, Lord, we call them born again. We call them men and women of God that seek you, Lord. They fulfill their ministry callings, Lord Jesus. And we call this town sanctified and set apart for your habitation, Lord. Let it be called the house of God, Bethel, Lord. Let this city glorify and honor you, Lord.
Oh, all to your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.